Welcome to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hello.
Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we're going to be joined later in the episode with our guest, Reed Wilkins, to talk some Edmonton Oilers hockey, because we're going to be matching up against those guys later this week. And anything you want to say about that?
No, I mean, it's the first time we're going to meet them.
This season.
Yeah, and then we meet them again at the very close to the end of, I think it's like March 20th. It's really close to the end of the season.
Okay. So before we get into the week that was and the week that's coming up, let's talk about Hockey Week in Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Sunday, they had the Alumni Skills exhibition and event at the arena, and Marty St. Louis and Vinny LeCavalier were two of the alumni out on the ice, including like Dave Andrechuk and Ruslan Fedotenko. I saw him there. It was, I saw some of the coverage from the Tampa Bay Lightning Instagram account, and it looked really cool.
I did not see any of that because I was on vacation.
Yes, you have been on vacation, tapped out.
Yeah.
But it looks super cool, and what a great way to start off the hockey week in Tampa Bay. So Tuesday, the 11th, kids can test their skating skills at Power Pole Arena, home of Extra Ice, and all the stuff you can find on TampaBayLightning.com as well. Then on Wednesday, they're having the Lightning High School Hockey League hosting a showcase game for all teams. Then Thursday, there's a full day of programming at the Lightning May Training Center. And then Friday, there's going to be a grand opening of a new ball hockey arena in Tampa. So you can check out that on Valentine's Day. Nothing says I love you like a new ball arena. And Saturday, February 15th is College Hockey Day. And there are a bunch of games taking place at arenas around the city. So like Clearwater Ice Arena, that's going to be Florida State University Seminoles versus the University of Tampa Spartans. And then the University of Miami Hurricanes versus the University of South Florida Bulls. That's going to be at the Advent Health Center in Wesley Chapel. And then on Monday, Hockey Week concludes with the grand opening of another ball hockey arena in Brandon. So lots of stuff happening, lots of places to play hockey, whether it's indoors, outdoor. Very cool.
I didn't
see
even
the game like grow like this.
And I didn't even know that these colleges had hockey teams.
I know. University of Miami?
I know. Florida
State? A hockey team?
Yeah.
I know, it sounds really dumb of us to say that, because we're always like, we're not a non-traditional hockey market, but we know our hockey.
But usually when we talk about college hockey, we're talking about, you know, Maine, Rhode Island, Minnesota.
I know USF has one, because I've known a couple people who've played, and a lot of the ice crew, some of those guys in the past have been on the hockey team too. But very cool stuff. So TampaBayLightning.com for all that information. So let's talk about the week that was. It was a good week.
It was a very good week.
Tampa Bay Lightning versus the Vegas Golden Knights. A win 4-2 on Tuesday last week.
And it was nice seeing them at home.
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
It had been a couple months. I think we had 3 home games in January.
Mm-hmm.
So they're home a little bit this month. So that was a great way to welcome the guys back home. Good game. Good win. Anything else?
No.
No, it was just good.
Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that because I was on vacation.
You were on vacation. You were Universal Orlando.
Yes.
So there was a lot to do.
Yes.
Tampa Bay versus Pittsburgh on Thursday, 4-2. I actually got to the arena early that day because I was there. I was part of the media contingent that followed around Austin Dillon, who's going to be competing in the Daytona 500 this weekend.
Right.
And so he did a jersey exchange with Alex Killorn before the game. Turns out Austin Dillon went to high school with somebody who went to high school with Alex, and they knew somebody in common, which is not... You wouldn't think a NASCAR racer and a hockey player would know somebody in common, but that was really cool, that little personal connection. So I was there early for that and got to see our buddy Jay Retcher at Media Dining. Got to see our buddy Dave Mishkin at Media Dining. Sat down with them, broke some bread, so it was fun.
Oh, you sat with them?
Yeah, saw our friend Corey Long, Joe Smith, Eric Erlandson, saw our Yoda right now, Steve Versnick.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like the first time I've used my media credential all season. So I was like, hey, everybody, we're alive. So it was good to see them. And I will say I walked by a couple of the Penguins players as we were going into one of the locker rooms mm-hmm. for the jersey exchange. And I was like,
well, it worked out to the Lightning's benefit.
Yeah, that was a huge game.
Huge win.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Well, I mean, you just never... The Penguins have so much firepower. They have so many superstars. Not that we don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they are one of those teams, when they come into a building, they like to exert their will on every team.
Yeah, they're a powerhouse.
Yeah, and we... There were a couple shaky moments, but it was very much a playoff atmosphere. It was a fun game to be at. It was just fun.
Yeah. How did Crosby look?
He was kind of a non-factor.
Ooh. How about that?
But he always kind of seems to be, because when he comes in this building, because of the matchups, they always... Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's Hedman who's usually on him, but they really focus their attention on shutting him down because he's very dangerous.
Yeah.
But there was that one play point to Cooch to Stamkos. Pretty. It was all the way on the other side of the ice from me, but I could still tell it was really pretty.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's some times where you can, it doesn't matter where you're sitting, you just see it and like, oh.
Yep. But my friend who was sitting next to me, she was getting ready to yell, "Stop passing it so much, just shoot it." And I'm like, I saw you. You were going to yell that, but it was pretty. So
big win.
Big, big win. All right. And then the Islanders come in the building.
And they get another W.
They get another W. 3-1.
Yeah.
Thoughts, feelings, concerns?
Listen, the Islanders, oh boy.
Oh boy.
I'm trying to think of how to say this, because they always, recently, I will say, they start off real hot.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of cool a little bit. Then they get hot again. But listen, the Islanders are a good team.
Yes.
They're coached well. They play well. I think, you know, we're years removed from Tavares now.
Well, I think it's like 2 years.
Well,
one or 2 years, right?
Yeah. Seems longer.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does.
But I feel like they've gotten their own little chemistry. They've gotten their mojo. Mm-hmm. I think they're hungry. I hate that. I hate saying that. It's so cliche.
Every team is hungry.
But I think they're kind of feeling like it's our now. It's our time now.
Okay.
Kind of like the Goonies. You're probably too young for that.
I know the Goonies. Okay. Stop.
But I do feel like it was a big... I felt like Pittsburgh and the Islanders were both big, big wins. They're not, you know, they play in the Metro, but that's fine, right?
The Metro, I find, is very competitive.
Right now, we're playing for conference.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, yeah? I mean, I don't think the Lightning care so much about winning the division this year.
No, I don't
think they could care. I think they couldn't care less about it. I think they want to make the playoffs and prove that last year was an absolute fluke.
Yep.
It was a brain fart. It was a big oopsie.
Yeah.
And they want to just...
And they're better than that.
And they're better than that. They know they're better than that.
I think everybody knows they're better than that. That's why it stung so much.
Yes. So I think their eyes are on a different prize. And I think...
yeah, their eyes are on a big silver cup.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't care about the banners.
No, and our new friend Diana Neros mentioned that, and I thought that was beautiful. I think she was one of the only people that kind of said it out loud, which is... They're trying to figure out their playoff hockey now. So we're going to see a lot of things that look a little different and look a little questionable.
And they're trying to figure it out. So it might not always work all the time, but let's figure it out now before we get into, you know, elimination time.
It was almost like they knew. The team knows how good they are.
Yeah.
The team knows how talented they are, how well coached they are, what kind of... expectations that they can expect from them, anticipate from themselves. They know what they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking at it now, and now that we're, you know, blah, 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 whatever, through the season, we can look at it and go, oh, that does make sense. Maybe that is what they were doing. They never panicked at all in the beginning of the season when things weren't looking so good, which is strange. They always kind of kept it real cool.
Yeah.
And we know, and everybody knows, Cooper hates losing.
Yeah. But I don't think any of them like losing.
But he kind of took it a little different this season in the beginning.
Yeah, he wasn't at the post-game press conferences. Yeah. It was more like, well, you know, it's early in the season and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Which is not what we normally hear from him.
Exactly. Normally he's like, ah. It's almost like, oh, okay, did they? It really looks like it was kind of by design. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to do this now, and then we'll see what works. We're going to stick with what works.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of carry it on through this, the last portion of the season,
mm-hmm.
maybe the last two thirds of the season. And that's what we're getting. But beating teams like Pittsburgh and beating teams like the Islanders, that gives you an idea of where you are.
Yes.
'Cause they're both very good.
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh is sitting second in the Metro right now and
just behind Washington. Yeah.
Just behind Washington. And
the Islanders,
the
like
Islanders
right
are the first team in the wild card right
yeah.
now. So they're very, they're, not statement games, measuring stick games.
Measuring stick. I like yes. measuring stick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of see where you stack up. Where are we? How are we against these players in this system? And
they were very competitive games. And
yep.
I know in the Islander game, the shots that the Lightning had were way
gracious.
Down. Way down. And they were still able to pull out a W.
Yeah. And I don't know if it was one of the two games. They only allowed 18 shots the entire goal, the entire game, which is the fewest all season.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like everything's starting
together.
Now to kind
yeah.
of just click into place. We still have a long ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this week's going to be
You know, they're another back to back this week.
Yep.
It's Columbus and Pittsburgh travel, so it's not crazy bad travel. They're close.
No, oh, yeah, they're super close.
But still, Columbus is third in the Metro, and Pittsburgh is two in the Metro.
Columbus.
Yes. Our nemesis.
You know, they really do give us quite a fit.
Yeah, I know.
And
is this the first time we're meeting them since last season?
I don't know.
I try not to think about them. But they're also playing really well.
They are.
So
as they have a tendency to do.
But two very good teams mm-hmm. on a back-to-back. And then, you know, we do get to come home, thank goodness,
mm-hmm.
and play Edmonton. And we'll get to see Connor McDavid. And we'll talk to our guest, Reed Wilkins, about that in the next segment. But they're going to be tough, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then Philly's playing well, too. Like, I don't know. It was not like we had a bunch of easy teams earlier
no.
in the season, but it's one of those things where as you get later on in the season, teams get better. They play better. They're actually playing for something.
Yeah, right, right. And I believe most of the teams we're going to be facing coming up here are all playing for something.
Right, and the trade deadline's coming too,
mm-hmm.
so there may be guys on the bubble who are trying mm-hmm. to prove that either they should be staying where they're at or they need to move to somewhere else. You know, so they're trying to make their stock go up a little bit.
And I always get nervous about the trade deadline.
Why?
Because I don't want to lose anybody. Yeah.
We haven't really talked about the trade deadline, and we have a couple more minutes here before we have to go to break. Because I've heard a couple times people have said a right-handed defenseman, right-handed shot defenseman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And our good friend Corey,
yes.
just a few weeks ago, said that he thinks it could be a young man by the name of, with the initials MJ, that could be the one, the trade bait that the Lightning see what they can bring in.
Yes.
And he did just get called down
mm-hmm.
Whenever it was recently, and then mm-hmm. last, you know, 24, 48 hours or whatever from Syracuse. And though you start seeing those things
mm-hmm.
when it's somebody that could possibly, but listen. People are going to want him. People are going to want Matthew Joseph. He's got a arsenal of potential.
He's got some speed. He can shoot the puck.
He's young.
Gritty. He's young.
You
can mold him however you want him to play.
It's possible. I'm not, we're not saying like we hope that we don't.
No, I'd love to keep everybody and just take new things on. But that's unfortunately not how the trade deadline works. It's in the title.
That's not what a trade is.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it does happen, I think, you know, and there's going to be teams that are interested in Lightning players. We see this every year because, duh.
Yeah. But, like, do you think?
But I don't know if Julien Brisebois is dialing out at all.
Do we?
But I guarantee you he takes a ton of calls.
Do we think that, is this the, you know how they always say, you know, they're going to go into the trade deadline as this is, we've got to win now, and we're going to trade away whatever we need to and take on crazy, what's it called, rental players for a year because we need to win now.
No.
Do you think that's going to change? No.
I don't think it'll happen.
I don't think so either.
I don't think Brisbois is a panic guy either.
Trade the future so you can win now.
No. No. Now, maybe if this was, you know, February 2021.
Okay.
Now
and we
maybe.
Have a cup? Or we don't
or
have
we
a cup.
Or we don't.
Ooh.
Now maybe we're getting into that. But that's way a million years from now. Not really. It's just 1 year. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's way down the line. But I don't think they're in that position. I think that they have a lot of depth.
Yep.
They've got a lot in-house. I think the major moves I think they've already made. And here's the thing. You always say, oh, this defenseman. That defensemen are the most sought after players.
Right.
At trade deadline, on the open market, because there's not a ton of them.
Right.
You know, there's not
it's a very specialized skill set, just like goaltenders.
Exactly. So you're not going to, there's not a bunch of PK Subban and Subbans and Victor Hedman's out there.
Right.
Right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So I think they're happy with.
Oh,
I hope
I think so too.
Yeah.
I don't, yeah, like you said, I think he'll be taking a lot of calls. I don't think he'll be making a lot. And just so you guys know, the trade deadline is Monday, February 24th. There is no Tampa Bay Lightning game that night. There is a game the next night versus Toronto at home. They're home that week. And they'll be coming, they're away the week before. Oh, that's the week I'm in Vegas in Arizona.
Yeah.
Yay. And then I get home and then, I'm actually off on the trade deadline. So I get to watch all the fun stuff. Yay! I love trade deadline day.
I don't like it.
I like to watch all the stuff and all the guys on like TSN and NHL Network.
Oh, those guys get
crazy.
All
get so excited.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
They're like, ooh, a trade just came in. Ding-ding-ding-ding.
Yeah.
They have that little
noise. Last year we had a whole bunch of late ones, if you remember.
Well, it was quiet, quiet, quiet. Yeah, maybe one here, quiet, quiet, one here. And then all of a sudden, like at 3:15, like 20 minutes after the trade deadline closed, it was like, oh, this one and this one and this one.
Yeah, because the league's got to do their own thing. They can't just, not everything's accepted. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope we don't. Yes, Julian, just take calls and, you know, trade away a bag of pucks if we can get something really good. But let's not touch. Let's not touch our team.
Nope.
Please. Don't. All right. So kind of just to wrap up from what we talked about earlier in this segment, Hockey Week in Tampa Bay. If you want to attend any of those really cool events happening through Monday the 17th, all the information is on TampaBayLightning.com. And then we've got a busy week at the arena Thursday with Edmonton. And Saturday, like we said, matinee, 4 o'clock with your Valentine versus Philadelphia. Nothing says I love you then more than the city of brotherly love coming into Tampa.
There you go.
You see what I did there?
I did.
And I'm almost assured. I don't know if it's I don't know if they're calling it the Valentine's Day game, but at least Thursday or Saturday, Thunderbug will be in his Cupid outfit, I hope.
Cute.
Gotta love a good Cupid outfit. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And come back with our guest, Reed Wilkins. He is the host of Inside Sports and Oilers Hockey on 630 in Edmonton. When we come back on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hi.
Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And Dory, why don't you intro our guest this week?
Very excited. He's joining us for the second time. We had him on last season. He's Reed Wilkins. He's a host of Inside Sports and Oilers Hockey on 630 CHED in Edmonton. Thank you so much, Reed. And can you tell everybody where they can follow you on social media?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it's just my name, at Reed Wilkins on Twitter, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S. Wilkins spelled like Dominique, but no relation. Though I did get Dominique Wilkins on my talk show once.
What?
Because that's always a running joke with me and one of my colleagues that one of my colleagues always says I was Dominique's less athletic cousin. So finally, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, I just emailed the Atlanta Hawks and took a stab at it, and I got a reply. And they said, yeah, he's pretty good at doing stuff like this. And eventually they worked out a time, and they said, yeah, call him at this time. So I called Dominique Wilkins, and I was like, hey, it's Reed Wilkins calling for the interview. And he was like, what? Oh. And I was like, it's Reed Wilkins calling for the interview. We had one booked up through the team. Oh, yeah, okay, go ahead. So I think he, like, forgot or just didn't know. Whoops. Or just if someone calls him and he's just polite enough to do an interview. So it was a few minutes. He was not as engaged as some guests I've had, but I did get Dominique Wilkins on the show. And, I mean, we don't have an NBA team in Edmonton. I mean, the Raptors are quite popular, especially after the last couple of years. So we don't do a lot of NBA type segments. So it was pretty cool to get a former player of that caliber on.
Absolutely. I actually love Dominique Williams. So let's just get right into it. Rachel and I were talking about it, and maybe the best move Edmonton made in the offseason was hiring Kenny Holland from Detroit. Yes, the Dave Tippett, of course, there's a lot of cool things going on in Edmonton, but Ken Holland, who is somebody that, you know, the Lightning faced Detroit several times, you know, many years, felt like there's a little bit of I think that there was definitely a lot of respect that the Lightning always had for Detroit because of the connection with Yzerman and everything. But what has Ken Holland brought to the table in Edmonton to improve on a team that was already, you know, pretty solid and talent-filled?
Well, I think his key additions is that he's been able to add some depth to the roster, and I think that's... And depth that, you know, players who are competent in their roles. And I think that's kind of where it got away from Peter Chiarelli over his final 18 months as general manager. I think maybe he either overpaid for some players who, you know, then weren't able to accomplish what he hoped they were accomplished, or traded away some players who were maybe who were starting to fill a role. And then, you know, they didn't have adequate replacements. I think Holland's, you know, his key additions, and they haven't all worked out. I mean, he signed Marcus Granlund, who didn't play very well and is now in the minors. He took a stab on Thomas Yurcho, who spent most of the year in the minors. But two key depth players that he brought in have been Riley Shane and Josh Archibald, who have been very good penalty killers. The Oilers have had a top 10 penalty kill most of the year. Actually, they were top five most of the year. It's now kind of between 6 and 10. It's been excellent on the road, especially. Shane's been very good winning faceoff shorthanded, pressuring the puck, and Archibald the same deal. And Archibald's been a little more dynamic 5-on-5, maybe over the last 20 to 25 games. He got some time with Connor McDavid when Cassian was suspended, and with James Neal injured, he's had some time on Connor McDavid's wing, and he's been a very tenacious, feisty player, not very big, but he gets involved in the play. So I think those two additions have helped the forward depth and helped the penalty killing. And then I think, you know, Holland traded Milan Lucic, which is not something I thought was possible because of Lucic's contract. Now they had to take on a little bit of money, you know, retain some money to get James Neal from Calgary. Mm-hmm. James Neal burst out of the gate with 11 goals in October. Yep. He hasn't been able to sustain it, but he's helped the power play, and he's a bit of a veteran presence. And then signing Mike Smith in net, and now they have a tandem of Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith. They've almost split the games exactly down the middle. It's a couple more appearances for Koskinen. Both have had struggles at times, but both have had streaks where they've done really well. Smith has been carrying the load since, well, really the calendar flipped to 2020. He's 7-0-2 in his last nine decisions after beating Nashville on Saturday night. So, you know, I think that those are some of the key additions Holland has made. Like I said, not every signing worked out. They never will. But at least the Oilers have more players, I think, slotted into a role in the lineup and slot it into an area where they can realistically achieve what they're being asked to achieve.
And, of course, hiring Dave Tippett.
Well, and Dave Tippett's been good as coach, and I think Jim Playfair coming on the staff as well. I think they deserve, you know, a lot of credit for the penalty kill as well. I mean, look, it's interesting talking about the Oilers coaching because I thought and still do think Todd McLellan is a very good coach.
Agree.
And
yep.
he was nominated for Coach of the Year when the Oilers made the playoffs in 16-17. And I got to put it this way, because I'm not taking anything away from Tippett, but I also never thought the last couple of years that coaching was a primary concern for the Oilers. You know, when the special teams struggle, sure, you can point the finger at the coaching. I think you look at how they handle, you know, some adverse, when there's an adverse situation, how they handle it when they choose to be even keel, when they choose to get a little upset, which we saw Tippett do at practice on Friday. You know, and Hitchcock coming in last year, that was never going to be a long-term thing. That was a kind of a desperate move, I think, by Shirelli to try to give the team a boost and see if he'd get him into the playoffs. So I don't want to overstate coaching, but I don't want to understate it either. I mean, Tippett's definitely come in and done a good job. He stresses a lot, talks a lot about building relationships. He has been very even keel behind the bench for the most part. There was a little outburst in practice on Friday when he hadn't been happy kind of about the last 4 or 5 days. But I mean, getting Tippett as the coach, and I think it was important to bring a coach in with that kind of a track record to tell the players, like, okay, I'm not hiring a coach who's learning how to be an NHL coach. We're not bringing in someone into this situation who won't understand a Canadian market or the scrutiny that is, you know, that is all part of it. Tippett is able to roll with all that, and he's been significant for sure.
I think last year when we spoke with you, it was right after Hitchcock was hired. And you said, I remember you saying that he kind of brought like a more like he's a player's coach type of, a player's coach, I guess is how it was phrased. Tippett is not. Is that what this team really needed? Somebody that was just going to kind of come in and this is how we're going to do it. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Tippett's responsible for that, doing the Mike Smith and Koskinen back and forth, the tandem as well.
Yeah, Tippett, I mean, it was interesting out of the gate how they handled the goaltenders, because for about the first little over a month of the season, one goaltender played 2 games and then the other goaltender played 2 games. And he stuck with that for a while. And then Smith didn't play as well in November and going into December, but it was still relatively even. And then finally, as we got deeper into December, Koskinen played more. And like I said earlier, now it's flipped where Smith is playing more. I think he's conscious of trying to keep both goaltenders involved. He has obviously the history with Smith from Arizona.
Sure.
So I got the impression he always trusted that Smith was going to bounce back from a really poor time and play better, which he has. I think he's, you know, I think he's big on making sure no player sort of feels left behind or that they aren't part of the process. You know, he's even, you know, he's been generally reluctant to scratch players for too long, even if the team is going well. There's been a couple occasions where maybe a forward has missed a few games in a row, but usually that's because the team is, if they've been on a good stretch, he's just said, well, I don't want to tinker with a winning lineup. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing with Hitchcock was, I think, almost to shock the team into playing better. Hitch threw a lot of things at the wall to see what was going to stick along the way, and he sort of changed a lot of his approaches throughout his tenure with the team. But that was just an interesting thing because, you know, if the Oilers had hired Hitchcock 10 years ago, that was different than hiring him last year. Right. And he, you know, he is an Edmonton guy and all that kind of stuff. And they started 9-2-2 under Hitchcock and then simply couldn't sustain it. But I think that the thing there was, I think everybody knew Hitch wasn't going to be the coach this year unless something incredible happened, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that was a bit of a tough situation for the players, knowing, well, we got this guy as head coach, but he's probably not going to be here, you know. And then the general manager got fired too. So it's hopefully now a little more stability for the Oilers with Holland and Tippett in those positions.
All right, we're going to take a quick break on Game Misconduct and be back with more with Reed Wilkins, host of Inside Sports and Oilers Hockey in Edmonton.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we are jumping right back in with our guest, Reed Wilkins, host of Inside Sports and Oilers Hockey on 630 in Edmonton.
If you look at the season the Oilers are having so far, it's been pretty darn good. And we're, you know, two-thirds of the way through it, ish. My math is not, I'm not a math person. But they're in a really tight race right now for the top of the Pacific. What do you think is going to be the biggest key for the Oilers to continue on winning and go deep, make a deep playoff run?
Well, here's the formula for the Oilers this year. If you were to ask me who are the 1920 Oilers in terms of their identity, well, they win games when they get good goaltending. Now, that's obviously pretty common around the league, but the Oilers haven't had it for a couple of years. And even though the Oilers' team save percentage is a little bit below average in the NHL, I would still give the goaltending a passing grade for this season, because there haven't been very many nights where you've looked at the Oilers' goaltending and said that's the reason they lost the game. You know, there have been nights that they haven't looked as good, but oftentimes the whole team hasn't looked as good. So, you know, I mean, there's only a couple losses all year that I would pretty much pin on the goaltending. So most nights the goaltending has at least given them a chance. If that continues, they'll be in every game. And then what does it come down to for the Oilers? Well, they got the two highest scorers in the league,
yep,
now playing on different lines, which has changed the dynamic a little bit. So, you know, if one of those two guys has an explosive game or a dominant game, they got a good chance of winning. And then again, the special teams have been outstanding. Power plays has been up around 30% most of the year, number one most of the year. I mentioned the penalty killing. It's had some valleys, but still pretty good. And I mean, if you look at Saturday night's game, the Oilers against Nashville went 2-for-4 on the power play and 3-for-3 on the penalty kill, and they won by a goal.
Yeah.
And that's kind of who the Oilers are. If the entire game was played 5-on-5, the Oilers wouldn't have the record that they have. They're still not a great 5-on-5 team. They're better than they were last year, but they're still not a great 5-on-5 team. So if they keep getting, you know, goaltending, they can at least match the goalie at the other end. And if the special teams keep performing, they're going to stay right in the race. In terms of a long playoff run, I think that's highly unlikely. I mean, the Oilers are a good team. They're not a great team. You know, like I still don't think they're at the point where they can survive 2 months, four rounds of that grinded out playoff style hockey. And a lot of times when fewer penalties are called, because like I said, if it's the more the game is played 5-on-5, the worse the Oilers are. You know, my colleague Rob Brown, who used to play in the NHL, said any game where there's a lot of penalty calls is to the Oilers' advantage. Like even if it's 10 each way, because they're probably going to win the special teams battle most nights. I just think, you know, it's really fun watching the division race. But like I said, they're a good team, not a great team, and I think that's for two reasons. The roster still isn't deep enough to call them a great team, and they're not battle-tested like some other teams like Boston or Washington or now St. Louis. You know, certainly the Lightning to a certain extent, though I know they had that awful series last year, where they get in a playoff game and it's 2-2 with 10 minutes left and it's really tight. But they can kind of look at each other on the bench and say, we got this. We know exactly what to do. We know how to win, you know, two-thirds of these games. They're not at that point yet. But having said that, it has been pretty fun. It's been fun to watch. And there's still time to learn some of those things, too.
Yeah, exactly. So let's talk about the Lightning and the Oilers, which is coming up for the first time this season on Thursday. The Lightning have performed pretty well against the Pacific Division so far. What are the Oilers, how do they stop the Lightning's streak against the Pacific?
Well, I think that's I think that's a tough matchup for Edmonton. And, you know, they haven't done I'm just trying to remember. I think it's usually the home team wins in this series, though I think Tampa has a couple wins at Rogers Place over the last 3 years. I think for Edmonton, you know, it's just going to come down to getting the saves. I think the Lightning, they're a really interesting team to watch this year because they won, you know, had a historic season last year and then flamed out in the first round. And if you look back over NHL history, there are several occasions where a team becomes a championship team after they've had one or two or sometimes even three playoff disappointments. There are a lot of teams that have been that playoff favorite and got beat and then come back stronger, even though maybe they didn't have a good regular season. The Oilers, you know, the first year they were really good in 1982, lost in the first round of the Los Angeles Kings. I mean, 1988 was supposed to be the year the Flames beat the Oilers, and the Flames had finished above the Oilers in the standings. Didn't happen. Then in 89, the Flames come back and win the Stanley Cup. Detroit had that 60-win team that lost in the third round. Next year came back and won the Stanley Cup. Obviously, Washington, several examples of not being able to go over the hump and finally win it. So, to me, that's what makes the Lightning more interesting to watch and maybe even more dangerous this year, because now they're not this front-running team that's supposed to go into the playoffs and just roll over everybody. And look how their season has gone. Didn't start that great. I mean, for a while, oh, heck, are they even going to make the playoffs? And now it's ramping up. And it's almost like maybe they have some of that maturity where they're saying, okay, you know, we don't need to start 14-2. You know, we need to get some things under our belt. We need to get into the season. And now we start to find another level in December, another level in January, another level in February. And it just feels like they're mounting for a playoff drive as opposed to trying to, you know, win the Stanley Cup in January and February by proving how good they are in the regular season.
Well, from your lips to the hockey gods' ears down here in Tampa, maybe in Edmonton they don't want it that way, but down here we would love for that to happen. We have really enjoyed having you. I, for one, am really looking forward to Thursday night's game. I love Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. I can't wait to see them on the ice with our guys. So we appreciate you coming on, Reed. And can you share with everybody again how they can follow you on Twitter? You have really great stuff. You broke some news the other day, a little about Tyler Benson, the Edmonton hometown kid. You got really great stuff on your Twitter feed. How can people follow you?
Sure. It's just at Reed Wilkins, R-E-I-D-W-I-L-K-I-N-S.
Awesome. We look forward to maybe seeing you Thursday if you're down here.
I'll be back in studio, but definitely watching on TV. Thanks for having me.
Always enjoy having him on. Because I don't watch a lot of the Edmonton games because it's on so late.
Yeah.
I didn't ask him, though, about the goalie fight.
You didn't?
I was sure he was, like, going to be tired about talking about it.
Well, and we for the same reason we didn't ask about Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl, because it's probably all he talks about. But he brought it up himself when he talked about it. By the way, if you're wondering when, it was when he mentioned the two top goal scorers. It's McDavid and Draisaitl.
Right. So, I mean, they've got a lot of firepower on their team, for sure.
Yeah.
And Connor McDavid is, look, a lot of people in the league think he's a generational player and that he's amazing and all of these things.
No.
That's just me.
What?
Look, he's very talented. Mm-hmm. But so is Steven Stamkos.
Oh,
so
sure.
is Nikita Kucherov.
But I think
they're
he's
not
the
being,
next.
But they're not being called generational players. I don't know that Steven Stamkos is a generational player.
Oh.
But I think Nikita Kucherov, just because of the way he sees the ice and the plays he tries to make, I don't know.
Hmm.
Like, you know, they want to crown him like the next Sidney Crosby or the next Wayne Gretzky or whatever. And I don't know. I'm not convinced yet.
Okay, that's interesting.
I mean, he's. I'm going to get a lot of hate tweets
on
that.
No, I mean, I do understand. But again, we don't see him often.
We don't.
So,
but I see plenty of his highlights, you know, because that's all they show.
Maybe it's, you know, maybe it's the, you know, market.
I mean, it might be the market.
It might be the market. You know, if he played on the Rangers or something, it would probably be nonstop.
Right.
If he played on the Bruins, it would probably be non, you know, yeah. I mean, maybe it's that way. I mean, we were there when he was drafted.
Right.
People went crazy. They lost their minds. They went bananas. People want bananas.
They go crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from his talent. I'm just like, well, there are other players out there and this whole generational thing. I don't know that we've had the next.
I don't think anybody is.
No, here's the thing. Maybe, I'm not saying that it should be a Lightning player.
Sure.
I don't know that I've seen somebody who is like the next Sid Kidd and who's like the next Wayne Gretzky. I don't know. I don't feel like I've seen anybody like that yet.
Fair.
I don't know.
It's hard because like Stamkos and Crosby, I put them in the same generation. If that's
couple years off.
Yeah, but in the same realm.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's kind of, you know.
I feel like maybe the NHL is so eager to crown the next generational player.
They do. Yeah, they are for sure.
But I don't know that we've seen them yet.
Maybe not.
Just my thoughts. But Thursday night should be an intense game.
And I like what he said about the Lightning, and I loved how he dug up all that history to back him. I don't know.
I feel good about this.
I'm feeling good, too.
But, you know, we feel good because, you know, we've seen a lot of W's at the end of games, and, you know, we'll see. It's a long season. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and I mean, they're coming off a back-to-back away. Mm-hmm. That is going to be tough. Mm-hmm. So, but then they have a day off and they can get their legs under them and then face Edmonton on Thursday
and
night.
And welcome in those kids.
Yeah,
who,
the kids.
I wish we had a little more time to find out what he felt like the pieces they're missing. We know from history, we know historically that Ken Holland is probably not going to make a bunch of big moves.
Right.
He's not a big move guy. I can maybe count on my hand twice that he, you know, Todd Bertuzzi, I think was I don't even know if that was a trade deadline. That was like, seems like 100 years ago. But I don't think he's that type of guy. He's a build within.
Yeah.
Which Yzerman, you know, learned from. It's just why the Lightning, we're a build within team. Mm-hmm. We made some moves this offseason that have worked out very well for us.
Yep.
So I'm not sure. I think it's just going to be a little bit of patience if you're an Oilers fan.
Yeah. They want it now.
They do want it now, but I think Holland's got first of all, he should command respect from everybody in the league, whether you love him or hate him,
right?
Of what he, you know, is able to do and accomplish. So it's going to be very neat to see if he can do in Edmonton what he did in Detroit, and that is use that system. Because listen, that hometown kid that they have, Tyler Benson. Goodness gracious. I mean, he's played up a little bit, but really been down to the minors. I mean, they've got a lot of talent there. So we know Holland's a build team, build guy. So,
and I think they've tried to bring in pieces to kind of help, you know, raise up. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah,
Connor
no.
McDavid to be able to,
you
know, because you might have this uber talented player, but if you don't have the right people to play with that uber talented player, then all you have is one uber talented player. Right. Mm-hmm. So you have to have those support pieces around him. You know,
James Neal, I thought was a, you know.
Right. And so that hasn't worked. So let's start by grooming and raising them in the farm system and bringing them up. So hopefully they can figure that out. Connor McDavid is still very young. He'll be playing for a very long time.
Yeah.
But I think they're just going to have to build around Connor McDavid instead of bringing in a piece here and a piece there and trying to make it work.
Okay.
So, okay. So then we play Edmonton at home Thursday and then Philly at home for a matinee at 4 o'clock.
Which is always confusing.
At Amalie Arena.
It's always weird going to those games.
Well, it's right smack dab in the middle of the day. You really can't get anything done.
And then you show up and it's sunny and then you leave and it's dark.
You're like what happened?
I just time like jumped or something. It's weird.
Well, it is the Saturday of Valentine's Day weekend, so you can always go to the game with your Valentine and then go to a nice dinner after the game. So you don't have to choose between do I take my Valentine's Day date to a sports event, which would be right the way to my heart, or do you take them to a nice dinner? But now you can do both.
Now you can do both.
Look at that. Make a whole night of it. Yep. Your lightning cupid is here for you. Ask me what I'm doing on Valentine's Day.
What are you doing on Valentine's
Day? Nothing. Okay. I'm getting a massage.
Hey, that's probably better than a lot of people's Valentine's Days.
Yeah. Single girl here. What up? But anyway, so Philly coming in. I don't know anything about Philly right now. Other than Gritty, I know nothing about Philadelphia.
Gritty.
Gritty. They're actually playing decently, aren't they?
I believe so. Yeah.
No idea who's still in Philly. I mean,
they've had some downtrodden seasons.
Downtrodden.
I think that was, you know, I think it was a big boost for morale in the 215/610 when they brought in Gritty.
I
think it was supposed to be like a morale boost. Unfortunately,
give them something else to focus on other than hockey. And what was happening on the ice?
Is
that
guess.
What Gritty was supposed to
I mean,
be?
Listen, Gritty has taken hockey by storm still.
Dude.
Now he's being sued, Gritty?
I think they settled. I think that went away.
Okay, good.
I think I saw that last week. So Gritty is safe.
Gritty is safe.
Look, I enjoy Gritty. I mean, I think he is
he's
a hot
creepy.
Mess.
He's
oh,
a hot
he's
mess.
So creepy.
He's growing on me, though.
Yes.
I think when you look at Philadelphia, and because I grew up there, I was born and raised there,
yeah.
I feel like I can say this. The Philly fanatic is freaking weird.
Oh, yeah.
So it just kind of all fits.
It just goes. yeah, so Philly, as the recording of this podcast, or this show, is they have 30 wins.
Oh, good for them.
And they're actually right above, so they're right out of a wild card
yeah.
spot right
mm-hmm.
now, but they are the
close,
next
right?
team in.
Yeah, yeah.
So
okay.
it's like wild card right now is New York and Carolina, and then Philly is right there on
Which
the outside
New
looking
York.
In. And they're right above Florida,
okay.
too, who's been playing well as of late as
Which
well.
We thought, we said that in the beginning. Yeah. We said in the beginning, give it time for Quenneville and,
And they're sitting sixth right now in the Metro.
Mm.
Behind Carolina and New York Islanders.
Yeah.
So... I mean, and every time Philadelphia comes in, it doesn't matter who the coaches are,
no.
doesn't matter who the players are, they give it to us.
Sure.
So, so buckle up for a good game on Saturday.
Yeah.
So, all right, so you want to wrap up?
Let's wrap it.
You sound very nervous.
No.
I wonder if Gritty will make the trip.
No, Gritty won't make the trip.
Gritty Thunderbug matchup? No?
Geesh.
No?
Okay. I think we should keep Thunderbug far, far away from Gritty.
I feel
Gritty.
Like Thunderbug is like the very innocent
yes,
child.
Yes, me too.
And
me
Gritty
too.
Is like the really rambunctious teenager that you want to keep him away from.
However, I would love to see Bolt the puppy with Gritty and see what happens.
I think Bolt the pup could take him. All right. And on that, we're going to stop the show. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you next week on another Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.